Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website. It's strength with a number 4, thejourney.com. And this is radio program number 84 if you're listening by shortwave radio. I want to update a little bit on the progress of our tract order. I think we're close to being able to order maybe 150, 175,000 tracts. We'll be putting that order in the next few days. So I'm excited to get quite a few tracts here to Panama. Appreciate all the gifts and donations that help make this possible. I want to share some things tonight that have are really grieving my heart right now. The Lord gave me a very difficult word the other morning, and I want to just kind of go through some things. I just want to kind of go through a progression of words that the Lord has spoken to me over the last 2 years and to see where we are right now. There's a lot of voices out there, and I know that everybody's trying to hear the voice of truth. Where's the Holy Spirit's voice? Because the Holy Spirit is a spirit of truth, and He wants to reveal truth to each of us. But there's many that don't want to hear the truth, because the truth sometimes is very difficult to receive. But if we'll receive the truth, we'll be fed. I think John chapter 6 is a chapter everybody should go back and reread, because that's what Jesus wanted to do, was to give people the truth. And there wasn't many that wanted to hear the truth, because the truth wasn't easy to hear. And many of His disciples walked away, and it says that they no longer walked with Him. And when Jesus turned to the 12, He says, "Are you going to leave me too?" And Peter said, "Well, where are we going to go? Only you have the words of life." And if you understand that Jesus wants to tell us the truth, and if we'll receive the truth, we can make decisions accordingly. And if we don't want to receive the truth, a lie will satisfy us. I want to go back and I want to read a little bit of an article that I wrote. This was actually the first article I posted. It's called "Whose Mark Will You Bear?" And I'm going to start about halfway through the article, but I want to kind of describe and set the scenario of the nation of America and where we came from, where we are today. And if you understand that the Constitution was given to us as a law in itself that we were to abide by, and one of the things that it says that we were granted liberty from God, our Creator. It says all men were created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And these gifts were actually given by God, our Creator, and they're inalienable, meaning that they were not able to be transferred, sold, or taken by man, because they were given by God. So I mentioned that if the freedoms and rights that we were given are being removed from those to whom they were given, is it possible that the one who gave those gifts is the one actually doing the removing? And if you understand that He reserves the right, as we are just stewards of everything that we're given, He reserves that right to take away what has been given if we've been poor stewards of what has been given. And I mentioned that if God has called us, it says, "Now have Americans used these unalienable rights for the purpose they were given? Have Americans used their liberties for right or for wrong in the eyes of the Lord?" Galatians 5:13 states, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only don't use the liberty or freedom for the occasion to the flesh, carnally minded ways," in other words, "but to serve one another." And in 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, Now the Lord is that liberty, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Therefore, there is a connection between the Spirit of the Lord and liberty. If liberty is being removed, is it not possible that what liberty is connected to is being removed as well? Over the past 50 years, America has been on a mission to remove God from government, where its laws and ways were enacted, into the courtroom where its laws and ways are enforced, and to the classroom where the laws and ways are taught. What was used as the foundation of all these efforts? A lie, and something that doesn't even exist in the Constitution, a term referred to as separation of church and state. So the separation of church and state was never in the Constitution in the first place, but it was a lie, and it was used to as a foundation to remove these rights from people. Now that we've come to the end result of all these efforts, the fruit is ripe and about to be picked, a godless nation. Who is to blame? A church and God's people who fell asleep on their watch. In America, we have what is called a representative form of government. In other words, the government represents the people through elections by the people. Even appointments are made by those who are elected. So if there are wicked people who have been placed in power, who do those wicked people represent? Colossians 3:1 admonishes the believers, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God." Then in Ephesians 2:6, "And God has raised us up together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus." God's people have sought the things below instead of the things above, resulting in their heart desiring the things of the world and not the things of God. So that is where we are seated now, seeing things from an earthly perspective instead of a heavenly one. Now God's people can't understand what is happening. Instead of blaming government and the ones who represent them, they should be blaming themselves. The ball has been in their court all along. Their decisions have always had the power to change the course of a nation, according to 2 Chronicles 7:14. If they would humble themselves, repent, turn from their wicked ways, God would in turn heal their land and restore their nation. So here's the million-dollar question. Has the window of opportunity to repent already expired, and has the judge made decisions regarding his people? And if it hasn't expired, how close are we to the expiration date? Let's ask the question another way. If repentance and a change of heart results in a change of ways, what are the change of ways in America today? Are Americans becoming more lawful or lawless? Are laws being enacted supporting morality or immorality? Are the rights given to American citizens by their Creator being used to do what is right, supporting defending lawful ways, or is even the blessing to defend themselves or families and their property being taken away? These are some things. I'm just mentioning this article because I really feel like it's time to really wake up. And so I'm hoping that this article, if you go back and reread it, I encourage you to do that. And maybe it may speak some things to you. But these questions I'm asking right now are to make an individual think and seek God for answers. The warning signs are everywhere saying bridge out. But sadly, those passing by simply ignore them, convinced that the signs must be some sort of mistake, thinking there has never been a bridge out on this road before. The wake-up call is being sounded. The question is now, will you get out of bed, get answers, and make changes, or will you roll over and hit the snooze button, upset someone even had the gall to make an attempt to disturb your sleep? God spoke to the people of Israel through a prophet named Haggai, saying, "Consider your ways. Consider how you have acted and what it has happened as a result. You plant much, but harvest little. You eat, but you don't have enough. You drink, but aren't filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but there is none who is warm. He that earns wages only to put them with a bag with holes." Again, God says, consider your ways. God was saying, wake up. Can't you see something isn't right? Here's why I'm trying to get your attention. My house is in ruins and you don't care. You're only concerned about your own fine house, homes. You are more concerned about your business than mine. That is why I'm holding back the sky from releasing rain, so in your limited harvest I might get your attention. It was I who called the drought to wither your crops and starve your cattle and ruin everything that you've worked so hard to get. This warning given by God was heeded, and true repentance resulted in obedience, which is all God is asking from his people in America today. This example was recorded given to us 2,500 years ago as a pattern of a proper response to a warning given by God. If God's people now who are called by his name would also consider their ways, repent, and turn from their wicked ways, the results would be the same. A godly fear and reverence for him would come over the people. Then the Lord would say to his people, as he did in Haggai 1:13, "Now I am with you." The next verse states that the Lord stirred up the spirit of leadership of the leadership and the remnant of the people. The Hebrew word for stirred up meant the Lord woke up their spirit. This is the answer and same pattern needed to wake up the slumbering spirit of God's people today. If this process is followed as it was in 500 BC with God's people, Then revelation and restoration will follow repentance and obedience. If this is not the process his people choose, then there's another pattern that will ensue, which is found in Ezekiel chapters 8 and 9. God's people were warned to turn from their wickedness, but didn't respond to his warning. In chapter 7, God says, "The end has come, and I will shortly pour out my fury upon you and accomplish my anger upon you, and I will judge you according to your ways and recompense you for all your abominations." They thought their sin was hidden because they thought God couldn't see them in the dark through closed doors. They said to themselves, "God can't see us." In fact, God can't see at all. So what do God's people today say, sitting in the dark places, feasting their eyes on whatever they please, doing whatever they desire? The same God that saw the hidden sins of his people then see the hidden sins of his people today. If he doesn't respond in a similar manner today as he did then he'll have to apologize to the people of that time. Once this decision has been made, and he determines, as he did in Ezekiel 7:2, an end has come, the end has come upon the four corners of the land. A man or woman's only hope is to have his mark upon their forehead. Going to church on Sunday or singing in the choir doesn't give someone that mark. Being a member, sitting as an elder or even a deacon of the church board doesn't, or even being a pastor doesn't give someone that mark. How does one know that they are marked by God? Ezekiel 9:4 answers that question. Those that are marked were those that sigh and cry at all the abominations that are done in the midst thereof. This mark was put upon the forehead of only those who had a repentant heart, not those who simply claimed to be his people. For us to think that claiming to be God's child will somehow give us protection from any sort of judgment will in reality do just the opposite. God's people will actually be put first in line to be judged, not exempt from his judgment. He expects more from those who know more. In Ezekiel 9:6, God gave orders to those carrying out the judgment began at my sanctuary. 1 Peter 4:17 states, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if he begin first at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God?" 1 Corinthians 11:31 says, "For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged." Each of us needs to make decisions regarding our own lives and our own walk before the Lord. Here's a check to begin to examine ourselves and see if we, like those in Ezekiel's day, are marked by God for protection or for judgment. Does the sin that you observe around you grieve you or entice you? Does what grieves God's eyes grieve yours? Do the things that pass your eyes that you shouldn't see cause you to turn your head away or take a second look? How a man or woman can honestly answer some of these questions will give some indication of whether or not they bear his mark. Everyone will bear a mark, God's or the enemies of your soul. This was an article that was written a little over 2 years ago, and I believe it was just the beginning of what the Lord was to begin to show me and wake me up with a word. I didn't have any experience writing. All I did was I began to hear his voice in the early morning hours, and I took a pen and I began to write what I hear him say. And the words began to get more and more serious, and I had to still write down what I heard. And these words were very challenging, and some of the words became words for pastors today. And one of the things that it began on Election Day, November 4th, and this is the word that I received that was a rebuke to the pastors that were supposed to be giving the truth. It says, this is the word that came to me this morning as a rebuke to those who consider themselves prophets, given the assignment to declare the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Many prophetic voices are declaring peace and safety instead of the truth of what is to come. Will you not warn my people of the judgment that will surely come? Today is Election Day. It is a day of decisions. This was November 4th, 2014. It is a day of decisions, a day when choices are made. I have been waiting for my people to make a choice for me, but few are declaring the choice that must be made. The choice that must be made is to repent. My true and truthful prophets have always declared the truth to warn my people to turn from their wicked ways, to declare that my righteousness and holiness must be revered. that I require righteousness and holiness from my people, that I will forgive them of their sins and iniquity if they will humble themselves and repent and turn back to me with their whole heart. I have given many a voice to declare the truth. Who do you fear the most, man or me? And I say to you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you who you shall fear. Fear him which after he has killed has the power to cast into hell. Yes, I say unto you, fear him. That's Luke 12, 4 and 5. If you are determined to encourage my people, encourage them to trust that every word that proceeds from my mouth is true, and that I will surely perform every word. If my first disciples were not immune from my judgment, no disciple or follower of mine will be. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord, no man. Humble yourself before me this day, and I will give you eye salve, that you might see. Exchange what is precious to you for what is precious to me. Time is short, it's decision day. Who will you stand before to give account of your life, man or me? Who do you fear more? If you truly desire to be an encourager, your decision to make the right choice will encourage others to make the right choice. Time is short, it's D-Day, a day of decisions. What will it be? Pride or humility? Your righteousness or mine? Your justification or mine? It's D-Day. Do you want to exhort my people? Exhort them to repent. Exhort them to return to their first love, for the love of many has grown cold toward me. Their love for this world has replaced their love for me. Their love for the praise of man has replaced their love for my praise. Tell them to turn back to me with their whole heart, or suffer with the ungodly and the worldly. The blood of the innocent cries to the heavens, and justice will be served if my people refuse to repent. Justice will be served by sword, by pestilence, by famine, and by war. No one will escape. I am a holy and righteous God. I change not. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. If my people will not raise a righteous standard, I will. It's D-Day. You have been given a voice to my people. Use that voice to tell my people to repent and turn back to me with their whole heart, and I will forgive them of their sin and their reproach. Today is D-Day. Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. There's always been a day of decision. There was a D-Day, the day I shut the door of the ark of Noah and sealed the fate of those on the outside as well as those on the inside. It might not have begun to rain immediately, but the decision was made. Today is D-Day. This was back in November of last year. And then I began to get other words. And about 6 months later or so, in June, or actually in May, I received a word on May 11th, and it was, today is a sad day for America. She was given a span to repent, but she repented not. Today the death sentence has been pronounced over her. Death by famine, death by pestilence, death by sword, and death by war. Today America, the land of the free, has become the home of the slave. Today America is ground zero for God's judgment. Her pride and arrogance would not allow her to repent. Now her judgment has been sealed, and soon to be delivered by the Almighty. She believed a lie that her Maker would never judge her, that only love would ever flow from Him. Now she will discover who her Maker is, in His fullness. Her position of prestige came with the price of accountability, and now she will pay for her sin. Her payment will arrive swiftly, and the unrepentant who have partaken of her delicacies will suffer the wrath of the Almighty. Her prostitution will cost her dearly. Her bed partners have grown to despise her and will soon turn on her. Sin was fun for a season, but that season has ended. The party is over. The hangover begins. God will not be mocked. Then in June, it was around June 12th or so, I had a word regarding the false doctrines that have been taught people in the Church of America that put them into a false sense of security. And this was about the doctrine of the pre-tribulation rapture. It says, the false doctrine of the pre-tribulation rapture has cost millions of Christians their soul, because the foundation of their walk with me was based upon a way out rather than a way in. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. No man will do the will of my Father until they pursue the will of my Father. A way out mentality will nullify their pursuit. A way out mentality will cause a potential disciple to stay on the shore of life and never strive for the other side. They will never encounter the contrary winds to strengthen their faith in me. They will disciple and duplicate others with the same faithless mindset, and it's impossible to please me without faith. How will that man hear the words at the end of his journey? Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. The end of that man's journey will not be filled with joy, but will be filled only with sorrow and regret. So quit looking for a way out and start looking for a way in. Cast your boat to the other side from the shore and set yourself for the other side. That is where I'll meet you. You'll know you're heading in the right direction when you encounter the contrary winds of persecution. For persecution has always been the trademark of those who are truly following me. This is something I think that really everyone should take consideration of, is that persecution will follow the godly. But the Lord said, I will strengthen your faith as you continue to row through those winds, and you will be strengthened to endure the days that lie ahead. Many of those who consider themselves mine will lose faith, as they are ill-prepared for the testing that will soon to arrive. Now is the time to strengthen what remains. Now is the time to pursue a way in rather than a way out. So what will it be? Are you in or are you out? That choice must be made before the storm arrives. This is something that I really encourage everyone right now to really think about where they are with the Lord. Are they looking for a way in or a way out? What is really where their heart is? Are they looking for a way that God will show them to strive for the other side? Are they looking for a way just to sit on the shore of life where it's comfortable? This is something that everyone has to really examine right now in their heart, is what are they looking for? Are they looking to pursue the will of God? Because I don't believe anyone will ever find the will of God until they pursue it with all their heart, because it just doesn't fall upon you, because we are by nature always look for a place of comfort, a place where we can just be comforted. These are some of the things that God has really spoken to my heart, and I want you to really examine where you are right now with the Lord. Are you able to receive a hard word? Are you able to hunger for the truth that no matter how hard or difficult the word is, that the Lord will can feed you with the truth? This was on July 24th. A man can tell the truth. A man can tell another man the truth, but God must reveal it. Many have handled the word of God deceitfully for gain because they love not the truth. These deceivers are clouds without rain, making empty promises that will never be kept. They tickle the ears of the simple-minded, too lazy to dig for the truth themselves, because those hearers are merely looking for a free meal. The welfare state of America began with a spiritual welfare state. When America began to become a people that would rather have someone else spiritually feed them, the welfare state began. Now, 50 years later, the trough eaters have been fattened for the slaughter, and the slaughter is about to begin. Are you a welfare recipient? Do you go to church to be fed, or are you the church that feeds? Are you merely going to church to be fed? If you are merely going to church to be fed, you are a welfare state recipient. If you aren't already full when you go to church, you'll lightly eat whatever is on the menu. If you aren't already in love with the truth, a lie will be mingled with the truth, and a result will always be deception. The narrow road will be broadened before you know, and before you know it, you're on the path to destruction. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. You won't realize your life is filled with leaven until the time of testing arrives, and by that time, pride can be so set that you can't repent. Go to the Gospels and compare the Good Shepherd's voice with your shepherd's voice. Do they sound the same, or do they sound different? Is your shepherd's voice as challenging as mine? If you find I'm not your shepherd, trust me that I might lead you. I will lead you to green pasture. I will lead you from your brown grass to green grass. I will feed you during the time of famine. The time of famine has already begun. Are you not hungry yet? If you don't hunger for the truth, a lie will satisfy. Only those who hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. I can only feed the hungry. The full will never come to my table. You must be poor in spirit to recognize your need. Examine your life today to see if you're really mine. If you're really filled with trust and faith, you'll need to be so filled with trust and for the days that lie ahead and are soon to arrive. Now is the time to check the oil in your lamp, because darkness is about to arrive. Only my truth will light your path and give you the ability to see in the dark. Are you ready? Are you really ready? The darkness will arrive whether you're ready or not. And this was on July 24th. Now, this is the word that I got two mornings ago. And I struggled with posting this because it was a very difficult word that I honestly, I just really questioned whether it was the Lord. And then I was taken to a video of a prophet from India that confirmed, I believe, that this is the Lord saying this. It says, "Come her out of her, my people, lest you partake of her plagues. You are contaminated and you don't know it. You must leave to find out. Only then can you find out and be cured. You are filthy and don't know it. You are filled with pride and rebellion and don't know it. You justify yourself because you're contaminated. You must leave to be decontaminated. You are plagued by association. Your association has plagued you. You've drunk from her cup. You've partaken of her sins, therefore share of her plagues. You must leave to be cured. My word has been spoken, therefore it must happen accordingly, for my word cannot fail, but must go forth and accomplish its purpose. I have spoken that it will be an utter wasteland, and that is what it will be." And then the Lord took me to Jeremiah chapter 50 and 51, and I began to write and make notes of different scriptures that jumped out at me. "For out of the north there shall come a nation that shall make her land desolate, and none shall dwell therein." That's Jeremiah 53. 50:13 says, "Because of the wrath of the Lord, it shall not be inhabited, but will be wholly desolate." Jeremiah 50:26, "Let nothing of her be left." 50:39 says, "And it shall be no more inhabited forever, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation." 50:40, "Just as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighboring cities, says the Lord, no man shall abide there. There neither shall any son of man dwell therein." Jeremiah 51:26, "But thou shalt be desolate forever, says the Lord." 51:29, "And the land shall tremble in sorrow, for every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without an inhabitant." Jeremiah 51:37, "And Babylon which shall become heaps, a dwelling place for dragons and astonishment and hissing without an inhabitant." And these are just a number of different scriptures that jumped out at me. And I just encourage you to really seek the Lord with all your heart, fall before Him in repentance, and really ask the Lord to search your heart. And I know the Lord will do a great thing in your heart if you'll come before Him with humility and brokenness. So thank you for joining us on Strength for the Journey, and we'll see you next time.